Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You know, just tremendous. You know, John, one thing, and it was Luke Williams last night, bottom of the ninth, two outs. We haven't really touched on about that moment. A caller sort of alluded to it, but we haven't discussed it. How much the crowd went wild. Now, it wasn't much of a crowd, and we've all seen walk-off homers, you know, plenty of times in our life, whether you're at the game or watch on TV or listen here on WIP. But when it's visual, as TV or being in person would be, you know, of course the crowd's going to go wild. It's a walk-off homer. But to me, John, it looked like an extra level of, like, the crowd jumping around, sort of realizing, as smart fans, this is a rookie's first homer. Like, this is a guy I never heard of until, like, 2 days ago. This is a guy that just laid down a bunt a couple days ago. I was like, oh, that's cool. We got a rookie up here who can lay down a bunt. Like, it struck me. And also, the fact that it had been such a boring game. And I think the crowd was ready to let it out.
Sure. And Luke Williams, I mean, because of what he did in the previous game where he bunted to a triple, you know, because that was crazy. And that's the type of guy that you can get behind. He's a hustler. And so people liked him from the get-go.
We're looking for anything with this baseball season. I want to be very clear about that.
Anything
we can get. Let's go to the phones. Joe in Mayfair is with us right now. Yo, Joe.
Well, I got a different spin on this, guys. And congratulations to Luke Williams for actually being the first person over the first 60 games of a season where fans can get back in the seats to show some life. It's an embarrassment. It really is. If you look over the first one-third of the season, how lifeless this team's been. You go back to what Joe said regarding Atlanta with fighting back and showing you're a team when your player gets hit and you're getting showed up at the plate by some moxie from the Braves. This team's been lifeless all year. I don't care injuries or not. You know, last year this team had no fans in front of them, and now you have an opportunity to put on a show – show that you care, go out with some enthusiasm, some care, put in a little extra mental attitude into your game. The errors are up. The base running skills are completely baffling to me. Their approach to plate with two strikes is baffling to me. There's no game plan. There's no care. And it took 60 games from a kid to come off the scrap heap to come up here to put some life into a locker room. If I was every player in that locker room, I'd be embarrassed right now that it took somebody else to come up here and show me what it's like to be a big leaguer and actually show some smile, some care, some moxie, and some happiness on the field for actually playing a game you love.
Well,
completely embarrassed for the rest of the team. Absolutely embarrassing.
I think you're being a little hard on them, but at the same time, I think what you're speaking of is going to happen. I truly believe that this will be what this team requires.
Why do you believe that, though, John? Because we've seen
because they're better than what they've shown. They're so much better than what they've shown.
But I got a comment on that. In spring training, these veteran players making these millions of dollars told all the fans what they want to be here. We can't wait to come back and play for you. I hear crickets now. I don't see this team at all backing up what they promised the fans back in spring training. Do either all three of you see any signs of a team with life before last night? That's not going to carry over because the next starting pitcher is your momentum. And when Alec Boehm makes a boneheaded throw or Gene Segura is lackadaisical in the field, it's going to take away from Luke Williams' moment.
Well,
that's my problem with this team.
Joe, I agree with you.
That,
I
do have Zach Wheeler going today, though. Night. So to your next starting pitcher, you can get some momentum with
right.
Wheeler.
But his point is that they make mistakes with such frequency that the negative is going to override the positive.
I mean, when can this team go 7 games? I'm not asking for a whole season. 7 games. I'm not expecting 7 wins.
Yeah, go 6-1.
But to play
crisp baseball
where we can go in a week from there, hey, no mental errors, better fielding,
right.
hit and run, a stolen base, a head first slide, a little fist pump, less strikeouts. Now there is some life in this team. Until you get a lot of that, last night was just a blip.
All right, Joe, give me a feel-good moment.
If somebody can top this, God bless them. 1996 Atlanta. Muhammad Ali walking, getting the torch, and lighting the flame with the Summer Olympics in our country. To me, that was the most feel-good moment of my life watching him do that.
That was a really good one. There's no doubt. One of a couple from the 96 Olympics, by the way. But that was certainly a notable one. James knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, well, there's someone on hold with it, so rein it in.
I haven't said it. I didn't say it. They notice I did not say it.
Yeah, it took some discipline.
It did.
You.
It's actually for him.
Yeah.
Let's go to Ja'Cory. Yo, Ja'Cory.
What's going on, guys?
Hi, Ja'Cory.
It's all good. We got a big win last night, Ja'Cory.
I've seen it. It was a big win. It was a big one. Shout out to the lucky man. He did his thing.
Maybe a little lucky that pitcher threw that ball the way he did. Maybe a little bit.
Going back with Jalen Hurts, I think Chris Sims that's the bad list. He has guys that's not even going to start. You have a backup like Case Keenum. Like, I've heard him since like 2018. You know what I'm saying? But I think Jalen Hurts is a top 40 quarterback somewhere. You know, in the 25-ish range, around that range. You know, he played what, 4 or 5 games last year. Mm-hmm. But I think he'll do well this year. I just don't like that list.
It feels like Chris Sims is basing this on strictly passing. Like, it feels very drop back quarterback centric. The rankings that he did, and I'm wondering how much he really took in of like the whole dynamic that existed between Jalen and this team, because we do factor that in to how we feel about Jalen Hurts.
And also running's a big part of his game, for what it's worth. It'll be interesting to see where he puts Lamar Jackson when he gets closer to the top, because Lamar's game is largely predicated on running.
Yeah. And I'm speaking of passing, I don't know if y'all seen this yesterday, but the Eagles cut, Jamie Newman, the third quarterback. And I was wondering, who are we going to bring in, like, QBs? Because you just can't go into training camp with two QBs.
So do they only have two?
Yeah, they only have two on the roster right now.
They're going to have to sign someone, Ja'Cory. There's no doubt. I did not know that. I wonder
if that's something that we should pay attention to.
You mean as
I wonder if that means more than
like a trade? So
yeah.
I mean, I don't know, Ja'Cory. I don't know.
I hope it's not for Foles. Please don't let it be for Foles.
They're not trading for
that
Foles.
Ship has sailed.
Ja'Cory, give me a feel good moment.
This is a feel good moment for me. I don't know if you guys remember this. When we beat Dallas in 2019, 9-17, when Sidney Jones deflected the ball at the end of the game.
Sure. All right. You got it, Ja'Cory.
So this might be a thing.
I think you
certainly cannot go into a season with two quarterbacks, and they have two quarterbacks on the roster.
Well,
that's it.
They are
making some move. Now, it might not be a big move. We know that they have the assets to make a big move. We know that there are quarterbacks out there who are in strange situations right now.
Indeed.
And we know that Howie is a wheeler and dealer who's always trying to make things happen behind the scenes.
Right. I wonder
if he's made progress on one of those things.
It's possible. I just find it unlikely that Howie would be so dumb as to tip his hand that, hey, we're about to trade to Green Bay for Rodgers. Hey, we're about to trade with the Texans for Watson. Hey, we're about to trade for whomever. And cut the third string quarterback right before it. To me, I don't see one correlating to the other.
I'm saying that you don't do that unless you know that you have someone lined up.
But it, someone's probably someone we've never heard of to be the other guy to be third string quarterback.
That's possible.
Yeah, I mean, I get your point, but I, you know. Hey, Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by the casino at Delaware Park. You can make a David at Delaware Park. Enjoy daily fee golf, lunch, and sports wagering. DelawarePark.com for details. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery. You must be 21 to play. Today's question, who should Doc Rivers play more in Game 3? Two choices, basically backup guards. I mean, you know, they, sometimes they both play, but who should play more? A, Tyrese Maxey, who's been better over the last 2 months, or B, Shake Milton, who was better for the first couple months of the season and certainly was way better in Game 2 of the playoffs. I have gone back and forth and back and forth in my mind, because let me just say this. I initially said, right here on the station, I said on air this morning, I said to play Tyrese Maxey because I do think he's fundamentally better. Then I said to myself, after John said to play Maxey, I said, actually, hold on a second. I think I'm going to go Milton. I think James's theory is right, that ride the hot hand while it's there. Now I might be going back the other way, because here's the theory I'm now saying to myself. Don't make Maxey feel bad about Milton's success. Like, you know, there's something to be said for propping up Maxey by sticking with him, and you got Shake ready to go feeling good whether he's the first guard off the bench or not. So I guess this is my way of saying, I don't know what I'd do. But John Ritchie, you said to play Maxey because you just think he's better. James says play Shake Milton because he thinks he's the hot hand. Ride it. John, where do you think the poll results came in today? Who should Doc play more in Game 3, Maxey or Milton?
I think you're going to have – oh, geez. I think it's two-thirds say Maxey because there's a lot of love for him out there. And even though Shake looked like the man this last game, I don't know if anyone trusts that.
So it's basically the other way around.
Wow.
It's 63% for Shake Milton. Close to close to two-thirds.
Recency bias.
It's a tough one. I mean, it's kind of puts you in a you gotta think on that one. I don't know. I'm still conflicted. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Steven.
I'm not conflicted at all.
Shake, I
love what he did. He worked his way through a real slump.
Yep.
And he proved that he could do it on the biggest stage. But I still, I think from a consistency basis, like I know what you're going to get with Tyrese, and it feels like he gives us a lift.
I don't know that you do know what you're going to get with Tyrese. He's played bad for two games in a
row.
Well,
neither is going to play much.
Yeah,
and I know that you're going to get, like, extra juice from Tyrese. I that's the way I feel about it.
Yeah, but you could be wrong about that.
You got extra juice from Shake.
Yeah.
Juice from Shake in this last game, but I feel like that's more of an outlier. I think Tyrese is more consistent with the juice that he brings.
Okay. Let's talk to Steve in Williamstown. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Doing well, Steve.
So I know you guys have a shorter show today, so I'm going to get right to my feel-good moment.
Sure.
So it is an Olympic moment, but it's actually from the 1992 Olympics in Barcelona.
Hmm.
There was the runner, Derek Redmond, who was running and collapsed mid-race.
Yeah. Yep.
And then tried to finish the race on one leg, and his father ran out to prop him up to help him finish. If you don't cry watching that,
yep,
lay down because you're already dead inside.
That is one of my favorite sports moments of all time.
Me too.
Mine too.
Me too.
And the son was officially disqualified because his father coming out from the stands to touch him, to hold him, to help him, officially disqualifies the son from having finished the race. But that doesn't matter. Because the greatness of a father coming out to help his son, who obviously was the best he could do was finish in last place anyway because he had already been injured, was one of the great things I've ever seen in sports.
Yep, I agree. You guys have a great day.
Thanks, Steve. What a good answer right there.
Great answer.
Let's go to Bill in Broomall. Bill, you're on WIP.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Doing well, Bill.
Good. Hey, first time caller to your show.
Thank you.
Listen to you all the time. You guys keep it real, man. The banner back and forth, but you do keep it real.
Thank you.
And that's what I enjoy. Might not agree, and you guys don't agree. But anyway, riding is a feel-good moment, okay?
Mm-hmm.
John, I think you're on the right track, riding a momentum thing. But I think more, this should be a gut check for the players, and not only players, but Major League Baseball as well.
In what way? What do you mean by that?
Well, a gut check for the players, you know, hey, you're in the check, you know, don't press. Play the game, you know, let the game come to you. You know, you're going to make mistakes, fine, but do them hustling. make them hustle mistakes, not stupid mistakes.
Yeah.
Right? And baseball. I mean, look at everybody's talking and feeling. You know, heard that crowd last night. You know? Stop screwing with the game. You know? Two outs in the ninth. Yeah, you know, I mean, that's what the baseball is all about from when you're a kid on.
Right.
You dream about that. You know? Mm-hmm. And
I will say, Bill, it is notable to me, for what it's worth, that through 27 and 26, what is that, 53 outs last night, there have been one run scored.
Sure, absolutely.
So it's not like it was – I mean, there's something to be said for a pitching duel, but when it's in a season when, like, so many of them are pitching duels, it kind of becomes less cool.
Right. But, you know, there were two teams playing, too, and one of them supposed to be a lot better and a better roster, but at least a better pitching staff than we have. Right.
Well, the Braves clearly just aren't that good. I mean, they've had 2 months now, a little over 2 months, to pull away from the Phillies and show that they're legit, and they haven't. Doesn't mean – I mean, I would still put my money more on the Braves than the Phillies for sure.
Sure.
But the Braves obviously are not as good this year as they had been the last couple of years. I think that's pretty clear at this point.
Right, but they the Phillies, the talent's there. It's the intangible, you know, throughout ball. And try and put a finger on it.
Yeah, I don't know how much. See, here's the problem, though, Bill. I don't know how much talent the Phillies really have. I hear people say that. I think they got like six or seven good players, and then I think it gets real dry. I really do. Like McCutchen, in my opinion, is at this point a below average baseball player. Now you might say, and let me say it this way, a below average starter. And you might, you know, someone out there might say, well, hold on a second. He's been an MVP. Well, it's like, yeah, he's been an MVP. He's an old starting baseball player now. I just don't think he's that good anymore.
Right. No, I totally agree. But you know, there's nothing out there to back them up. Like you said, this kid coming up, you guys don't want to play. And back in the day, they'd bring somebody up, and then, hey, somebody would sit.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so Bill, give me a feel good moment.
Okay. You know, riding the same wave. When we won Super Bowl.
Yep.
Ray Dinger and his son.
Oh, that's a good answer. I like that answer.
That was. Everybody can relate to that.
I like that answer really a lot, Bill. I mean, we mentioned Super Bowl 52, but this counts. It's an offshoot of Super Bowl 52. Mm-hmm. Ray and his son's a really good answer, hugging there on the set of Comcast that night. Let's talk to Chuck in South Jersey. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hold on. Let me take up speaker.
You got it, Chuck. We're doing good, man.
Hey, Joe, John. How you doing?
Great.
Haven't called in a while. Probably a long while, but...
Good hearing from you, Chuck.
Hey, great to hear from you guys. I was at the game Tuesday.
Yep.
I can't for the life of me think why he pulled Harris. He had 12 points with 8 minutes left in the first quarter. You need to put distance between you and him. That guy was hotter than...
Dude, let me tell you something, Chuck. I didn't like it either. I just didn't like it. I think
the guy was hotter than ashes embers on a wood fire.
I didn't like it. I know they've got rotations. I know Harris is probably getting near the end of his run because he's been in there for a while and he's probably getting a little tired. But he had not stopped scoring, and Doc Rivers took him out in the first quarter.
I'm like, what are you doing? I totally agree.
But they pulled him for Matisse, right?
I don't think so. I think Matisse had been in there about 2 minutes before that. See? I could be wrong. We'd have to check that. I think Matisse went in there.
8 or 10 points out of him in that first quarter.
Yeah, I think Matisse went in there for either Green or Curry. We'd have to check. But here's my point, John. If he did pull, and we could look it up. If he did pull Harris for Thibault, don't do that.
My impression, I was okay with it. I thought it was Thibault, and I might be wrong. But it just shows where Doc's priorities lie.
Defense.
His priorities lie on the defensive side, and that's where he believes offense originates.
And he already said that
he wants to be the best defensive team in the league.
Right.
Oh, sure. And listen, I mean, I do think they had a.
But you got to score points. You got to put distance between these people right off the bat.
Yeah. Look, I think they had a great strategy on Trae Young, which was essentially predicated on this is going to be either Ben Simmons or Thibault on him, and we're gonna move Trae Young toward people, meaning, you know, every time Trae drove, either Simmons or Thibault would kind of gear him toward where another Sixer defender was, and it made it hard for Trae Young to do much. It was brilliant, but I didn't listen. Again, we'd have to look it up. Either way you slice it, I did not like such a hot Tobias Harris being taken out in that moment because it felt like he was scoring at will.
Oh, at will. Yeah. No doubt about it.
Yeah. Yep.
He was banging them out.
All right, Chuck. Also, Chuck, also, go ahead. What?
Also, Simmons with 4 points in the first quarter doesn't score the rest of the game.
Yeah.
In the second intermission, I watched him hit 8 free throws in a row during the second warm-up. And I think it's all in his head. It's all in his head. 8 free throws, no problem. Boom, 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 boom. Going right in, no problem. And I'm like, why can't you do this during the, and yeah. I think it's all in his head, man.
It might be. Chuck, give me a feel-good moment.
A feel-good moment. I was at Game 6 World Series 1980. I watched Doug McGraw, after that last pitch, run, jump up in the air, and run towards Dutch and just hug the hell out of him, and then the team just fell on everybody.
Yep. Not Dutch, by the way. Boone.
Boone, right? I'm sorry, Boone.
Yeah. Well, actually, yeah, it was Schmitty. If you remember, Schmitty jumped on the pile. All right, Chuck, good stuff. Now, we do need kind of a ruling here. James, I turn to you. I referenced earlier Philadelphia Sports Championships, and I think I made the point like...
Yeah, you took them off the board.
They're all kind of off the board.
Yeah, it's a nice answer, but Chuck can't win.
Right, because then we can say, all right, Mo Cheeks romping down the court, L.A., May 31st, 1983, Sixers win the title. All right, Bobby Clark and Bernie Perrant skating around with the Stanley Cup. All right, Flyers win the title. Like, I mean, at some point here, it's just in a category that, you know, so, okay.
Off limits.
Off limits, fair enough. I guess what we're saying, feel-good moments other than Philadelphia
you
Sports
You did just mention a name where you could go in another direction with a good answer for a feel-good moment.
So it's either Clarkie, Bernie, or Cheeks. And James Seltzer is talking about that game in 2011 at Citizens Bank Park. And I was thrilled to be there when Bernie Perrant put the uniform on again.
I was actually going for a different moment.
Really?
Yeah.
I got to tell you, it was a real thrill for me
I'll just take
Bernie
it off
Perrant
the board because it probably won't win anyway.
What?
I was talking about when Mo Cheeks went down and helped that little girl finish the national anthem.
That was great.
Wasn't it?
That was great. Put his arm around her. Helped. She was struggling with the national anthem. He was the Portland Trailblazers coach.
Yep.
He'd obviously heard, like, I don't know, 3,000 national anthems in his NBA career. Obviously knew the words. She was really struggling. She was about 12.
Yeah, she was a little girl.
And he stepped right up there and helped her sing
the
anthem.
Awesome moment.
It was a tremendous moment. It really was. Let's go to Joe in Jenkintown. What's up, Joe?
Yes. Kind of an off-beaten one, an old one. The reliever, Valdez, for the Phillies.
Oh, I like that.
The winning pitcher in, like, 16 innings or something.
Yeah, and he just – and the way he went off the mound with that pop-up so confidently, like, oh, yeah, I got this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was and he also hit Scott Rolen in the midst of that inning, which, of course, was a plus.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was I think it might have been more than 16, but it might have been 18 or something.
It was the 19th inning.
19th inning?
Yeah, it was the 19th inning.
Yeah, Wilson Valdez. Wow. That was really cool. Yep.
Hard to believe it's that long ago.
Yep. What do you got on the 76ers here, Joe?
The only other point there was funny that there was a dilemma over him shortening the roster, and I went through, like, 10 guys that I thought deserved some kind of time, and Milton was the odd man out. Now he's in the mix. So now what do you do? Yes.
Well, that's the thing. It's like I want to have only really 9 guys.
Right.
I think
right.
I think the problem is, other than Thybul, I think they're all kind of comparable.
Yep, you're right.
They're all sort of about the same level. They play different. Some play different positions, some don't, but they're comparable. And I think what Doc is currently trying to do is mix and match based on who's playing well and certainly who are the 76ers playing, meaning what's the matchup, who's on the court, who fits. So it's not settled. And my guess is this will continue at least in the next round, assuming the Sixers get there.
Absolutely. Still finding the plays. I'd love to have Thybul and Simmons at the same time, but it hurts their offense too much. You're just not there's no way you can do that.
Yep. All right, Joe.
Okay, thank you.
All right, buddy. Appreciate the call. I mean, here's one of the things, John, and I've used Furkan as an example. Like, do I want to see Furkan in the playoffs? Not really. But I will admit, game one, he was a prime guy in the fourth quarter. I think it was the fourth. It was either the third or fourth. I think it was the fourth. That actually got them going where they actually almost came back and won the game. I mean, they got close enough, I should say, that they had a shot. If you remember, Furkan had a stretch where he made, like, 3 or 4 straight baskets in a row. So it's like, on one hand, I'm like, come on, what are you doing playing Furkan? But then it's like... I don't know. It's just – it's an unsettled rotation, which is kind of unusual for a number one seed NBA playoffs knowing that, you know, you're in
these
playoffs.
It's a strange spot for these players to be in, too. Yeah. I mean, think about that. We were talking about it with Shake and with Maxie.
Yep, yep.
You guys are both going to get a very limited playing period, and if you don't do special things,
right,
we're going to defer to the other guy.
Yep.
And Furkan is sort of in the same boat. There's a lot of pressure to get – there's a lot of pressure to produce immediately, and I would think that that could work against them producing.
There's a stress level there, but this is it. I mean, it's time to go.
The big time.
215-592-9494. Up ahead, leading off, Phil's play in an hour. We'll get you ready for Phillies baseball, the third game in the series between the Phils and the Braves. Zach Wheeler on the hill. We'll get you ready for that next. Plus, also next, your chance to win $1,000. We roll all the phone calls on as well. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.